Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, August 26, 2011. Tech News Today is brought to you by Slingbox, which just turned your iPad into a television. Slingbox introduces the new iPad apps, and now you can watch your home TV on your iPad anywhere you take it. Check it out at Best Buy or Slingbox.com. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Aya Zaktar.
And this is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day, try to make a little bit of sense of it. Joining us today, editor-in-chief of ThisIsMyNext.com, a.k.a. TheVerge.com, Mr. Joshua Topolsky. Thanks for being on the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So how long do we have before the big changeover to The Verge?
Well, we're shooting for fall, early fall, so we're getting close. I'm not giving a hard date yet because, you know, dates can slip and I don't want to let anybody down.
Is there a leaf color you want to commit to?
burnt tomato. Is that a color?
There you go, folks. So, you see the leaves go burnt tomato.
Burnt tomato, you know that The Verge is descending upon you.
It's the old saying the sailors use. Actually, I can't wait. I've really been enjoying what you guys have been doing at This Is My Next, and I can't wait for you to go all official. I'm looking forward to it. Let's start off with our first story, Razer. The folks who kind of caused a lot of stir at CES with their Razer Switchblade accessory. It was a programmable device for playing games, a little portable programmable device, have come out not only with a new laptop, but also a full-page ad in the Wall Street Journal declaring the PC not dead. In fact, Min-Ling Tan, the CEO and creative director of Razer, told Ars Technica, the big PC guys just don't want to innovate anymore, and we're going to move into that space. So they've introduced the Razer Blade laptop with a little bit of that Switchblade technology that we saw at CES integrated into the laptop. They've got 10 programmable LCD keys over on the right where you can have some pre-made maps for certain games, or you can program it for your individual games. And then below that is a touchpad, which can also give you game information or be used as a controller. But instead of being in the middle, like most touchpads are on laptops, it's over there on the right. Now, and it may not be great for left-handers, but it's set up more like a gaming rig.
I don't know what to make of this. At first, I was like, wow, it's a tablet inside a laptop, but it's more of a very limited touchpad.
It's more like a gaming accessory built into a laptop, yeah. And the biggest deal is the price, $2,799.99. So it's a $2,800 laptop.
But it's very thin and light, Tom.
It also weighs 7 pounds, so I don't think you want to discount that. It's not, I mean, this is, you might as well just buy a desktop, really, if you're going to get this laptop, because a 7-pound laptop is not that convenient.
Well, it also doesn't exist yet either, because it's it's coming out in Q4.
Yeah, Q4.
And this thing that we saw is just all demo, right? So maybe it won't be 7 pounds by December.
I think they're listing that. I feel like if they could make it lighter, they would tell us. You know, they might say something like, you know, the demo version is 7 pounds, but we're going to get it down to 5. I think they're pretty solid on, you know, what they have is probably going to go into production pretty soon to hit Q4.
It's weird that they're talking about how slim and sleek it is, and it is 0.88 inches thick, but it's still 7 pounds. Like, they packed a lot of stuff into a small space.
And it's also, it's big. It's like Josh said, it's like, I mean, at this point, I have a 17-inch, and it's a little bit bigger than this, and this is a beast, and everyone makes fun of me all the time, because I have to have this huge messenger bag that I carried around in.
What, and you have a MacBook Pro 17-inch?
Yeah. Which is not 7 pounds.
They're so huge. They're cartoonishly large. Why do you have that? I don't understand.
I got it for...
She wanted to make herself look smaller than she already is.
That's enough, Tom. No, I got it because I edit on Final Cut sometimes, and I wanted as much screen real estate as possible, which I can see a hardcore gamer would also, you know, have the same desire, and this is, of course, more portable than a desktop. But it does seem like there's a lot going on.
Now, they've packed this thing full. I mean, for your $2,800, you get a 2.8 gigahertz Intel Core i7 processor, 8 gigs of RAM, the 17-inch display we talked about, 2 gigs dedicated video memory, built-in HD webcam, 320-gig hard drive, 7,200 RPM hard drive. So it's, you know, it's not light on specs. They've been operating in stealth mode for 3 years, working on a number of projects that were ultimately canned for not meeting Razer's standards. And they're bucking everyone who says, like, nobody's going to buy this. People want cheap, powerful, but cheap, and they don't care what it looks like. And Razer's saying, you know what? We think they do care what it looks like, and we think they'll pay for quality and appearance. That, to me, sounds like they're trying to imitate Apple's business model, which is we're not going to worry about being the cheapest out there. We want to do stuff that we like, that we think is the best, and people will buy it. Josh, you think that's going to work?
I mean, I think there's something to being true to what you want to create and making something for maybe a specific user or you have a person in mind that you think is just going to love a product and you create that product for them. I think there is something to it. I don't think this is going to sell to hundreds of thousands of people or millions of people. I think this is a very, you know,
niche kind of thing.
Yeah, it's right. It's exactly, it's like, it's not for the mainstream. And I think that's, I wouldn't say this is Apple style. I mean, you know, Apple, I mean, I guess the product itself, Apple would never make this kind of gaming computer. But I do think it's a kind of a good strategy to follow your heart on this stuff and to follow your user base. And I think if they see that there's a user that wants this, then they'll be okay. But my question is, are there users that want it? I mean, PC gaming has really slowed. You don't see the kind of fanaticism about it that you used to. Obviously, consoles are, you know, what everybody has, what everybody plays. So my question is, are there enough users out there that are going to go out and buy this thing to make it worthwhile for Razer to produce? And that's something we'll know, I guess, after Q4.
Especially for $2,800.
Yeah, that's a big gamble. Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
I don't know what the number is. There's a number upon which they could still, this would be a success without being the top selling,
right,
or even near the top selling laptop.
Yeah, one of my friends was really upset with the Wall Street Journal ad. She's a gamer, and she's like, well, what do you mean this is the first gaming laptop? There's Alienware and Voodoo. You forgot about those. And like, she was quite a Razer fanatic. And the fact that she got upset by this, I was surprised.
I think that actually might be the most Apple piece of all of this. If you want to cite anything that's Apple-like about this computer, is the fact that saying something like the first gaming laptop is pure BS. I mean, yeah, everybody knows there have been loads of gaming laptops, big ones too, ones that are very similar. But the idea that they're kind of selling this as nobody has entered this market and we're stepping into it for the first time is, you know, pretty Apple of them.
Yeah, they've got some arrogance. I think they're trying to play on the HP thing of saying, look, everybody's trying to get away from PC. We're not. But it can be interpreted to be a little arrogant, and I think it has been. Let's talk about Max Levchin leaving Google. Google is dissolving Slide. They purchased Slide about a year ago. Slide has been an independent unit within Google, the way YouTube has been. Among other things, they've made Super Poke Pets. You guys all played Super Poke Pets?
I haven't, but I have seen outcry online of Super Poke Pets fanatics who are very upset about that.
I was not aware of the fans behind Super Poke Pets. You might be more familiar with Pool Party, which recently had a little mini craze, and Photovine, which just launched, a month ago, and has been slowly building. Yeah, they did Disco as well. So they've made some apps that have gotten some buzz, but in this Google focusing that Larry Page has been doing, they're deciding to dissolve Slide. Most of the folks are going to land up at YouTube. Not only the founder, Max Levchin, but also head of product, Jared Fleisler, is planning to leave and go elsewhere. Max has been doing angel investing, apparently, and he's also the chairman of the board at Yelp. So it's not like he doesn't have other things to do. But this is another example of Larry Page saying, you know what? We don't care. Yeah, Eric Schmidt bought that. I'm not rolling it into Google Plus. I'm not using it. We're getting rid of it.
Well, the weirdest thing is that Photovine was launched, 8 days ago? And actually, for the most part, people were responding well to it. And it was the question, at least that I had, was like, well, Photovine's awesome, but how are they going to integrate this into Google Plus?
And there was no indication
they were
going to.
It seems like they're not ready to do that yet. Yeah. And it turns out that the people working on Google Plus and the people working on Photovine were not talking to each other.
Yeah, and I think that might be part of this decision. I feel like Google is starting to really define what kind of company it is. I think that the last 10 years, they've been the company that's just trying some stuff out and seeing if it sticks. You know, you mentioned that they had a lot of buzz on something. I didn't know if that was an in-joke or not. But I think the idea with Google right now is, I think it's the Motorola purchase says it, and I think this is a move that says it. They're starting to really figure out what kind of company they want to be, and they're making major moves to become that company. And I think that there's probably there was a lot of overlap to what you just said, Sarah, that you would have these two photo products where the teams weren't talking. I think they're trying to get rid of that. That's a big issue at Google, and I think they're trying to get rid of that completely and streamline this stuff and get people to know their products. And a big way to do that is to have less products.
Yeah, I think you may be right that this is not necessarily a bad move in the grand scheme of things, as far as Google stopping throwing things against the wall, saying that wall is full of spaghetti. Let's clean this place up and get focused. but we do lose some. I actually liked PhotoVine. I thought it was a pretty cool looking app, and it's just going to be retired now. Nobody's going to pick it up.
Well, Google's getting known for having departments that aren't working with each other closely, and there being some disconnect. So yeah, I think down the line, it makes sense for them to just have less of that overall. It just sucks for people who like these services that Slide is putting out. The team was working hard.
Meanwhile, Apple's made their first high-profile hire in the post-Steve Jobs era. iOS hacker Comex, also known as Nicholas Allegra. You might know him, or at least his work. He created Jailbreak Me. That was the hack where you could just go to Jailbreak Me and it would unlock your iPad, your iPhone. He worked with GeoHots on Lime Rain. Posted on Twitter yesterday, so the week after next, I will be starting an internship with Apple.
Well, he could be making it up.
He could be.
I don't know.
He could be pulling one on us.
I mean, look, I think Apple looks for talent, and they're really good at finding it, as evidenced by the people they have working for them. And, you know, it's an internship. It's not a full-on position. But, a lot of the guys in the Jailbreak community are incredibly talented, super smart programmers and hackers. And it really makes sense that they would want to bring some of these dudes into the fold. It probably is a nice added bonus that Comex will likely no longer be able to work on anything related to jailbreaking. So maybe they're just going to bring everybody on an internship and kill the jailbreaking community altogether.
Is George Hotz going to be next?
I think he's a little extreme for Apple.
I think he's already got a job.
They might. Yeah.
Isn't he at Facebook?
Is he?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I gotta keep up on the internet. What's going on over there? People moving around. But that doesn't mean that he's off limits to Apple.
Right, of
but
course
I do
not.
Feel like I do feel like he's a little extreme. I mean, I don't know if you know much about George, but he's a pretty intense guy. So by the way, is my connection really crappy right now?
No, your connection on our end is good. Are you not hearing us as well?
It is.
Yeah.
No, I'm hearing you guys okay. I'm just, my stuff seems like it could be jumping around a little bit. So
oh, no. Yeah, you're
as long
good.
As you're hearing me fine. That's great. No, but I do think that Apple's looking for talent, and these guys are extremely talented. It's just a question if they want to be subsumed into Apple instead of doing their own thing.
Well, but, I think,
jailbreaking doesn't really pay.
That's become more of the issue. I mean, as Vlad pointed out on This Is My Next, Steve Kondik hooked up with Samsung. He's the creator of CyanogenMod. That's smart for Samsung. And Microsoft has actually been fairly friendly to the modding crowd and trying to get them like, hey, don't do this, but we'll try to help you guys out. I think that's the right thing for companies to do. The question is, will the modders and the hackers be willing to play along and play nice and take internships, which, that's not very lucrative either.
Well, I started as an intern, and then I ended up getting a job out of this. I mean, if you want to be able to say, hey, this is the next big jailbreak.
Here.
Not at Apple. I'm saying someone like this who's obviously very talented and capable and probably really likes Apple and likes to play around with the innards of Apple products would want to work. I mean, why not get paid to be like, hey, I found a little something here that you guys might want to patch up?
I mean, there's no question that these jailbreak guys are huge Apple fans. I mean, they're not doing it. They're not spending hours and days and months trying to jailbreak iPhones because they hate iPhones. You know, they're doing it because they want to do more with their iPhones and Apple won't let them. So I think that that's a really good point why shouldn't they get paid and make some of these discoveries inside of Apple? I mean, you can't be a you can't be like a jailbreaker forever. I mean, and there's always somebody who will come and take their place. So.
Yeah, there's lots of enthusiastic hackers.
They're not going to be hurting for. Yep. Yeah, there's young, like 13-year-old kids that are just totally insane. Like, know the phone end to end and can just completely mess with it. So I don't think there's any shortage of guys out there waiting to take Comex's spot.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about the possible Amazon tablet and a stretchable roll-up screen. But I want to take a break first and thank our sponsor, Slingbox, helping to bring you tech news today. Just in time for the holidays, Slingbox is introducing their new iPad app. Now you can watch your home TV on your iPad anywhere you take it. I actually use Slingbox quite a bit, especially when I'm traveling. I'm going to be headed out to Dragon Con next week. It's one of the ways I'll be able to keep up on some TV shows in the evening, get back to the hotel room. And it's like, oh, I missed the episode of Haven or whatever it is that I want to watch, or Torchwood. I can pull up my Slingbox on the iPod, watch it right there. And if I have a Slingbox HD, I can watch it in HD quality. You just hook up your Slingbox to an Ethernet connection, and then you connect it to your television. You can control that television with an IR blaster. And so anything you get on your DVR or your television, you can get on the iPad, on your iPhone, on your computer, watch your home TV anywhere in the world you go that has an internet connection. You can find Slingbox or see a demo at Best Buy or check it out at slingbox.com. Slingbox and your home TV now appearing on iPads everywhere.
It's true. It's on my iPad right now.
It is on mine too. Here's another tablet, though. We've been hearing these rumors about the Amazon tablet coming sometime this fall. Two tablets, possibly an entry-level one and a high-end quad-core one. Boy Genius report passing on a New York Post report. So, you know, consider the chain of sources here. Yeah, but Amazon is apparently going to price their Android tablet for hundreds less than Apple's $499 entry-level iPad 2. Whether it's true or not, it's interesting considering the recent craze over the $99 webOS touchpad.
We talked about this a little bit earlier in the week where I think it was the show that Becky was
on
where
Monday,
at least a couple of us were saying that's exactly what Amazon needs to do, and now they have their proof. They've got to undersell Apple by several hundred dollars so that they sell like hotcakes, and maybe they take a loss up front. But it's Amazon. You know, if they can prove themselves, get out there in the market. I mean, look at the Kindle. It's like people who have one love it and are very loyal.
Do you think, Josh, do you think that Amazon could afford a $299, $199 tablet if they made enough off of the services they sell?
So tablets are expensive to make. There's no question about that. Amazon also has a lot of money, so they can afford to take a hit on something. I think it's a question of how big of a hit and where are they making the money up, right? I think partnerships, content partnerships is a big one. They already have a lot of content partnerships, and they're probably going to expand that. They've proven they can do it. They've proven that people want to go to Amazon and buy content, whether it's TVs or movies or music or books. And that's a lot of stuff. You know, they have a better book selection than Apple has. They have a terrific TV selection and movie selection. They've got a great, if I'm not buying music at iTunes, I'm buying it on Amazon. And I'm probably more likely to buy it on Amazon, actually, for some strange reason. But so I think that they could afford to take somewhat of a hit on price. The question is how big of a hit. I don't think they're going to do a $99 tablet. I think that's too low. That's a crazy fire sale price. But I think $199, $299 is feasible. My bigger question is, are they just going to be another Android tablet maker? Like I have real trouble with this idea that everybody's just making Android tablets and that Amazon wants to make another Android tablet. Though I guess it makes a lot of sense.
Well, they've got an Android app store. That's kind of the tip-off, where it's like, really, all they got to do is skin the entire thing Amazon and say, look, we've got an app store, and we've got movies, and we've got TV shows, and if you're an Amazon Prime member, you'll get streaming. And I think what Amazon can do that almost no one else can do is a little bit of the same thing Google does, which is, hey, we're going to give away Android for free and make the money off of advertising because people are going to use it to consume Google products like search, right, and maps. Amazon can say, look, we're going to have front and center the ability to shop and buy anything, not just digital products, but we'll probably sell more books and energy drinks and cookware and that kind of thing because we'll have an Amazon. I don't know if you've ever seen that window shop app, but something
Amazon has like seven even iOS apps that are all marketed differently, right. And it's all Amazon.
Something that turns the thing into a catalog, essentially.
Do you think that they would? So you're suggesting that they're going to fork Android, take the open source piece of Android, and fork that as their own OS? And you know, obviously there'll be compatibility between applications, but it's not going to get a Google blessing. I mean, is that your thinking on this?
I think they're one of the few people who could do that successfully and monetize it.
I agree with you, but I also think it creates a crazy situation for Google if that happens, because now it's like Google is no longer in control of Android. I mean, it would basically be like Amazon forks Android. It's got its own customized build of it. You don't have those Google apps like Gmail and a couple of the other ones. Google Maps probably isn't there. And they've got their own app store. They've got their own fork of the OS. That just becomes a crazy environment for developers. I have to say, I think Amazon has a better chance of pulling off a successful tablet than almost anybody else in the industry right now, which is, saying a lot, because who else can compete with Apple right now? I don't see the answer to that question.
Yeah. And plus, it would give us a chance to coin silly terms like Amazoid. But you can't devalue that.
Google's on.
I'm leaving. Is there a way to end this call?
I'm hanging up now.
Bad joke Friday.
let's quickly move on to engineers at UCLA who have developed something that I think a lot of us have been in wanting for years and years, which is a fully stretchable OLED screen. So roll-up screen, essentially. The problems with making these in the past is that you could use carbon nanotubes to be your electrodes, but when you paste the carbon nanotubes on any substrate, they tend to slide or break off past each other when the thing bends. These engineers at UCLA were able to blend nanotubes and a liquid polymer together, put that on a glass backing, make it blend and set. See, I'm oversimplifying, but that's essentially what they did. Then peel that off. And they ended up with a smooth, stretchable, transparent electrode. Now, they've only made a 2-centimeter square, and that even only has a 1-centimeter square that emits blue light. But it works. And this is one that doesn't break or slide off the way that others have done. So it's a big advance. They do have, say, the conductivity can be lost if it's stretched too far or too many times. So they've got work to do before this comes along. But
well, a lot of work to do, because the whole idea is like fold something up and put it in your pocket and take it with you.
Exactly.
And you do that 10 times, it doesn't work anymore.
So so you're actually saying this is bad news? It's
no,
like, wow, they still have a lot farther to go.
I love this idea, but it sounds like conceptually we're really at the beginning stages of this.
I mean, we are so far away from this technology existed in any way that we can use it. I love the video of that looping video of the stretching, that slow stretching. It's really, there's something kind of obscene about it.
Yeah, there is. I noticed that.
You know, look at them stretch the nanotube ever so gently. But I do think,
slow down,
you know,
slow down.
It's a very cool technology. I just feel like it's so science fiction-y still, you know, like, they've got this 1-centimeter emitting light. I think that our dreams are like, oh, I've got this rolled up.
Yeah.
I have this rolled up computer that I throw in my pocket or in my bag. It's like a paper, but it's a computer. But I feel like that's got to be at least 10 years down the road, if not more, based on what we're seeing. But it is cool. I don't want to rain on your parade.
That was exactly the process I went through when I read this story. I was like, oh, they figured out how to make a sheet that doesn't break. This is great. And then you get to the end and like, yeah, we've made a 2-centimeter block. 1 centimeter of it works.
So for a limited time.
The press.
Yeah. Until we stretch it too much.
Right.
We'll get there. All right. Well, let's finish up with our apology block today.
What's that, Tom? We've never done this before.
Well, we got a ton of companies like saying, we're sorry. GameStop offering a $50 GameStop gift card and a buy two, get one free pre-owned purchase offer by email to anyone who bought the standard PC version of Deus Ex Human Revolution, which if you were following the news, you know they were opening up and taking out the coupons for a free copy of OnLive. So look for an email if you bought this from GameStop. You'll need to bring the email and your receipt into the store, but then you'll get a $50 gift card and a 2-for-1. Does that make up for opening up all the games and pulling out the coupons? And can you still get it if your coupon was accidentally left in by a GameStop employee?
Well, I think you just say, I never got a coupon.
Yep.
That's what you do. I mean, this is...
But you know what? I love that they make you go back to the store with your receipt and all this stuff. You know, it's like, you know, probably 50% of the people won't do it. It's not very nice. You know, it's like, oh, you know, come back to the store, or send your stuff in, and you'll get an email. And it's like, okay, but you made your point, right? A bunch of people won't get this coupon that was being included. So it's like, it just, you know, it's just a scummy GameStop can be. Basically.
Drive back to the mall, find a place to park, right. Walk the, you know, 10 miles across the parking lot.
Wait in line at GameStop.
Wait in line. Wait until an attendant can actually help you.
GameStop says, and maybe you'll, once you get all the way here, you're so inconvenienced that you figure maybe I'll buy another couple of games because I'm already here.
$50 gift card, right? You might want to spend it right away because you're there. Yeah. And it's buy two, get one free on pre-owned.
Right. So you're still buying two games that you might not have bought otherwise.
All right, let's see if Yo, go ahead, Josh.
I was going to say, this is probably their plan all along. They were like, look, we'll apologize. We'll act really sorry. People come back to the store. They'll have to buy two games and we'll make a few million.
We'll hit our sales goal.
We're the good guys now.
Right. But we did right.
Let's see if Barnes & Noble did any well, any better. They had a lot of people upset who ordered touchpads for $99, and the inventory system kept taking orders even after they ran out of touchpads, so they had to cancel those orders. They are now sending $20 e-gift cards to anyone who had placed an order for a touchpad and then later found out that their order had been canceled. The card can be used to purchase items at the Barnes & Noble website or in stores. So that's a little better. They're just sending you... over the
evening. I did not get one of these.
Did you try to order from Barnes & Noble?
I ordered one. It went through. It said it was ordered. And then I got an email the next day saying, oh, sorry, we are out of stock on that product. And, you know, we're refunding your order. I have yet to receive my $20 credit.
Well, either they're rolling it out or they're just giving it to certain people.
Right. Now, what's interesting.
Go into the store.
Yeah,
the
GameStop one is officially from GameStop. This is just people on Twitter and a couple of blogs saying, yeah, we've gotten an email saying you're going to get this. So maybe they are rolling it out slowly.
Maybe they'll send you an apology for not sending you an apology. And then that way you can save an extra
$5. I'd like to get a $5 certificate for my unreceived, my yet-to-be-received $20 gift certificate.
This has happened to me a few times. I'm not specifically with Barnes & Noble, but I've ordered something, and then I get sort of like an error sometime later saying, sorry, we're out of stock. And I kind of go, oh, that sucks, but okay. I didn't actually have to pay anything to get $20 back for my inconvenience. It's not the worst thing in the world.
And emailed to you, so you don't have to drive to a Barnes & Noble.
That's
The last one is going to just anger you more, Josh, since you actually didn't get your touchpad. If you have one, though, HP has selected 6 apps that normally sell for as much as $15, and they're making them available at no cost to new HP WebOS customers for a limited time. In fact, on the Palm website, it says the promo codes will expire on August 31st, so you got 5 days to get your 6 free apps.
Can we talk about how crazy this is? How weird this is. It's like, we're discontinuing the product. We're fire sailing the product.
Right.
And then now we're promoting the apps on the product that we just said, like, we can't stand to look at or even think about. So we're going to sell them we're going to take a $200 loss on every one of these to get them out of our faces. But like, now we're going to do a promo for free apps as if like everything is normal and we're a regular company trying to get you into your product.
It is weird.
So like, what does this mean? Like, I don't understand.
If you take them at their word, this is totally consistent, because what they've been viciously backpedaling trying to say over the past week is, yeah, we're stopping making hardware, but we want to license WebOS. We want people to develop on WebOS, and we would like WebOS to be successful. Now, that's hard to accept when they're like, well, then why are you killing your products after 49 days? But if you take them at their word, this would make sense to say, well, we're going to give apps to people and get them to continue to use the product and like the product so that we can have a good user install base to license out WebOS to other people and get developers to make apps for it.
Do you think it was cheaper for them to sell these at a huge loss than to pay for them to be shipped back to wherever they came from? Do you think that was the reason for the $99? I mean, couldn't they have just kind of done this more subtly, like left them on shelves, maybe cranked down the promotion a bit, but kind of, you know, still kept them out there and said, hey, you know, these are going to be our last WebOS products, but we're actively working on a licensing deal with somebody. I feel like the way they've done this is very haphazard. It's like, my impression is people at Palm and the people who come these products didn't really know that this was coming. And I do feel like now when I watch tweets from people at Palm and I see the kind of attitude, I feel like they are a little pissed at HP about what's going on. Maybe that's where the 6 free apps thing comes from.
It may be that.
I don't know. I feel like there's warring ideas about how to carry on with WebOS.
I agree, because it seems to me that Leo Apotheker just doesn't care about the Personal Systems Group. And he cares even less about WebOS. He just wants to become IBM. He wants to become a solutions provider. He's a guy from SAP. He doesn't understand that business. He sees that business as low margin, and he just wants it to go away. So he wrote it off and said, you know what, do whatever you want. I don't care. But we're not going to spend any more money making those WebOS devices. And the Palm people, like you say, found out at the last minute and said, oh, well, what do we do now? We're not going to stop developing WebOS, so let's try to come up with something.
They're also selecting.
Give away a bird guide.
They're selecting six apps and making it seem like, ooh, they're normally $15, so that means they're going to be really great. But maybe they're the six apps that are regarded as the best experience ever on the touchpad, so that when people get used to them, it's like, we need this to continue. And so they kind of get the momentum going.
Yeah, Glimpse allows you to run two things at once. Camera is a camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a bird guide and three games.
Well,
some of the software is very good for WebOS. I mean, it's the thing about the platform is, and I actually wrote something for the Washington Post about this. I actually talked about, I wish Amazon would go and license WebOS as its platform, because it's a really good platform. It's just that nobody has, you know, Palm never had the money or the people to take care of it. And we thought that was going to happen at HP. And I think what happened at HP is they didn't get what they needed or wanted, because Leo was basically, like you said, had not interest in the business. He's like, I'm going to give you this shot. If you're awesome, then we'll keep it going. If you're not, you're out the door. And that's, you know, it's like, what happens? It's actually a good OS. It's sad to see it be so completely blown apart right now.
Well, maybe they don't fork Android. Maybe they make HTML5 apps for all of the Amazon stuff, and Amazon tablet ends up licensing WebOS. Who knows?
Maybe it's dual boot. Who knows? That makes no sense.
It'll dual boot BOS.
Maybe it'll run Windows 8 and Android. We don't know. Anything's possible.
Anything is possible.
Except iOS.
That's not possible. Sure. Let's move on to the news fuse.
Now you don't know.
That went on forever.
If you're one of the 25 million Google Plus folks, you'll be happy to hear there's a new feature Google has added to ignore the other 25 million people on Google Plus. Previously, you could block people, but that was a little bit of a nuclear option, considering it stopped people from commenting on your posts. The blocked people could also figure out what happened. With ignore, people can still post, but you won't see it. They'll never know you're not paying attention.
It's like Proxlet, but for Google Plus.
Yeah.
An unnamed source says that Apple is working on a new way to get video onto televisions in the form of a subscription-based TV service, which sounds like just another bad rumor, but the source does come from the Wall Street Journal. So this is the first time in a couple of years when Apple has been rumored to bring subscription-based video to the world. So it might be a recycled rumor, but it's a good one.
I could say Apple is coming up with a new way to bring TV shows to your television.
But did you?
It's Apple TV. They're always working on that.
Well,
but like there'll be a new way.
Oh, I see. All
even
right.
A newer way.
You just made headlines on all the Apple blogs.
Oh, you think there's going to be a new way?
Josh Topolsky says a new way for bringing television.
Well, I think that's. The idea is they'll use something, you know, this will be some sort of software subscription agreement versus like an actual. They do say technology in the Wall Street Journal article, though. So,
yeah, that may be right.
I mean, it's hard to tell because they also cite a lot of analysts who are known for being complete liars. So your guess is as good as mine.
If we're back to that, we don't really know. Situation. Because it did so well in the United States, Google introduced its Google TV in Europe in early 2012, and the UK will be a priority. Eric Schmidt made the official announcement at the Edinburgh Television Festival. While Schmidt didn't mention any partnerships with UK providers, he did give praise to the BBC for its iPlayer and asked it to make an Android version, and then under his breath probably said, and please don't block Chrome, please don't block Chrome, please don't block Chrome.
How desperate is that he has to publicly request that they make a Android version of iPlayer. It's classic. You get them on the phone or something.
Classic Schmidt.
After hitting the pause button on the AT&T T-Mobile merger review to get more documents, the FCC has restarted its investigation. The review had been stopped since July 20th, and AT&T isn't worried and still expects the review process to go on until next year. They just have, they don't have a care in the world as far as this is concerned.
No, they
the FCC was apparently on day 83 of its 180-day review when it just decided to take
a break. How long will the 180-day review take?
Longer than 180 days.
Japanese telecom company SoftBank has decided to pay off a loan it had with Citibank by dumping virtually all of its 4% stake in Yahoo. SoftBank now owns a measly 0.002% of Yahoo now. The deal between SoftBank and Citibank turned out to be a great deal for SoftBank. By paying in Yahoo stock, SoftBank made a profit because the shares it gave to Citi were only worth $660 million, but the loan that SoftBank extinguished with the stock was $1.135 billion. So Yahoo stock is worth something.
Big leak on the mobile OS front. RIM's next version of QNX for the playbook made an appearance on Mac's PDA. The new OS will include native email support, calendar, and contacts. The odd thing about the email client is that it won't support BlackBerry Exchange Server or BlackBerry Internet Server accounts. So the bad news is that you might need BlackBerry Bridge. On the plus side, Android Player looks to be there, and the release is expected in September or October.
But you only need the Bridge if you already have a BlackBerry. So it kind of makes sense, I guess. As much sense as the BlackBerry OS system.
It just doesn't make sense for everybody, which is the weird part. Mm.
AT&T is trying to wring the last bit of profit from its landline business, the telephone wires. The company has started to charge $2 per month for customers who don't have long-distance calling plans. That's right. You pay $2 a month to not have long distance. The fee can be avoided if the customer makes $2 or more worth of long-distance calls in any given month. I guess AT&T is trying to get you to call your mom.
They just want you to be global.
This seems illegal to me. This is not.
It really smacks of illegal.
You can charge people for things they don't do, right? Unless it's like you didn't. I don't know.
Like you can charge us for not paying per an agreement we've already entered into. But how can you charge us for not making phone calls?
I could see them saying, "Look, you have the ability to make long distance calls, so that's a minimum of $2 a month." But
what do you mean, because it costs the money to give you that ability? Is that the idea?
I guess. So why don't you just call and say, cut off I don't want the ability to make long distance calls. They couldn't charge you the $2 then.
I don't. This is fishy. This needs an FCC investigation.
As do so many things.
HD Blog appears to have gotten its hands on the Acer Aspire 3951 and took a few sexy photos of it lounging by a pool. The 3951 is packing a Sandy Bridge processor inside its 13-millimeter thin case. Intel is behind the recent push of Ultrabooks. You know, that's the new name for thin and light PCs. They're Ultra.
AKA not MacBook Air.
Right. So expect a bunch of them to make an appearance at IDF next month.
Finally, Verizon Wireless has been named the most reliable carrier in the United States by J.D. Power and Associates. The survey looked at delayed text messages, connection issues, and dropped calls. Verizon received the least complaints and was tops in all regions surveyed, except in the North Central area. If you're in that area, U.S. Cellular was the best. And they pretty much only exist in that area. So maybe it's an argument for regional carriers. I don't know. Let's move on to the randomizer.
Randomizer.
Ayaz was very excited about this story. It is one of those eBay stories, but it's pretty hilarious. An HP touchpad drawing is up for sale on eBay, and it's currently, what is the current bidding?
$99,100, and it's the rare limited edition white touchpad that doesn't exist. On top of that, if you want, this fellow will draw a picture of the touchpad running Android.
Wow, it's like a Picasso.
At no extra cost.
No extra cost, so if you just spend $99,000, you too can own one of these things. I just love how the touchpad, if you actually wanted to buy one, costs $300 on eBay. The drawing, though, that is a work of art.
People love the touchpad. Look at this. They're really paying homage to the touchpad when you think about it. Now, I mean, what's eBay going to do about this situation? This is happening all the time now where you get these crazy bidding wars that are not based on reality whatsoever. But I did put a bid in for that. to say.
Well, best of luck, Josh. I hope you get it.
It's going to be a nice piece above the bed.
Yeah, next time we see you, maybe it'll be framed up there behind you.
That'd be really great.
On the ceiling above the bed.
Oh, wow. Taking it there.
Touchpad drawing.
So I can look at it all the time.
Ceiling touchpad drawing is watching you.
You paid $99,000 for a drawing. You're going to want to look at it.
Yeah, well, I would say so. All right, let's check the calendar.
A lot of Samsung news. Samsung and Apple have another court date on Monday, August 29th. This time, this is in Australia over design infringements alleged in the Samsung Galaxy Tab. So this is Apple on the offense. Samsung announcement in New York is coming Monday, August 29th as well. Probably the Galaxy 2. And on July 30th, 2012, it's Apple versus Samsung in federal court. I was almost right on it.
Yeah. So Josh, are you or I'm sure somebody from This Is My Next is going to that Samsung announcement on Monday. Do you expect to see Galaxy 2?
I think it's if we don't see Galaxy S2s, somebody's going to die, basically.
Yeah.
I think there have been so many leaks. I don't know what else. What would be amazing is if they had something else that nobody has ever heard of or seen. My expectation is it's getting pretty close to the time where the Galaxy S2 is revealed. And I was actually having an argument with Vlad on the site about the Galaxy S2, and I was saying, like, as long as it has TouchWiz on it, I'm basically not interested. And he was telling me how incredible the experience is and how fast it is. And I don't know. I'm bored of skinned Android phones, so they're going to have to really wow me with this one to make an impact.
Well, and the problem is my wife has the European Galaxy S2 unlocked, and it has TouchWiz, but that's it. And she actually likes it. She's like, you know what? TouchWiz isn't bad. I like it. But it doesn't have any other carrier stuff. And all of our phones here in the U.S. are going to be, you know, modified by the carriers as well, except Verizon.
Hey, you're going to get Bing search on that.
Yeah.
Really quickly, thanks to ScooterX in chat, who just said the Hurricane Irene has delayed the Samsung event until Tuesday evening in New York.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
What?
It's been bumped a day. Plan accordingly, Joshua.
All right.
I get my Monday. I can relax.
Yeah.
Monday.
Yeah.
Party.
Drink that vodka.
Oh, I'm going to. There won't be any left by Monday.
Well, you got to go to Costco or something. Or Sam's. Stock up.
Yes. Sam's Club. Get like a... the two handles of vodka.
And really. So much peanut butter.
I feel like, yeah. You know what I mean? I need tons of vodka and a big jar of peanut butter, and I'm all set.
You'll be good.
Who needs anything else? Protein and
fuzziness. Everything you need to survive the earthquakes, hurricanes, and upcoming locusts coming to New York. Yeah. On to the emails, TNT at twit.tv. Michael writes in, says, hey, on yesterday's episode, you discussed how Link and Skype could coexist. The answer's simple. Link is Microsoft's VoIP solution targeted at business and enterprise. Skype, on the other hand, is consumer-oriented. And if Microsoft makes the right decisions, they'll keep it that way. So that's a good point, Mike. We were talking yesterday about how Link is now going to be available on other platforms like iOS and Android. I still think there's going to be a lot of consumer confusion around the two, and maybe there needs to be some sort of integrated version of them eventually. But yeah, we're still waiting on Microsoft's acquisition of Skype to close. So.
Exactly. Another email from Aaron. Hey, Tom, if you run Parallels 6 and you want to install Chrome OS, just launch Parallels and click the plus button for adding a new machine and select download Chrome OS, and there you'll have it.
Is that right? See, I run VMware. They don't have that option. We were talking in the post show about if there was any legitimate way to get a hold of Chrome OS for a virtual machine, just to have it to play around. It's an interesting take on secure browsing. Have you messed around with Chrome OS much, Josh?
I think we just lost Josh.
Oh. We wish he was using it right now.
maybe he tried.
He actually ran out to buy some peanut butter and vodka.
He's taking us seriously.
Thanks to his audio. He's coming back. There he is.
Okay, he's back.
There
he is.
Yep, you're back.
And Mike...
Let me just...
You're back now.
I don't know what happened. You guys totally froze. And I did hear your question. You asked if I played around with Chrome OS.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've played with Chrome OS. I've played with it deeply. That's not good. Yeah, it's a very interesting. I actually think Chrome OS as a concept is amazing because it's the first new idea anybody has had about an operating system in a really long time. I mean, you've got iOS and mobile operating systems, and they are very unique. But they still have a lot in common with a regular computer operating system, whereas Chrome OS is pretty crazy when you think about it. And I think that technology, once it matures, is going to be really incredible to use, and I think will be widely adopted. But Chrome OS in its current state and with the current hardware that it runs on is not that awesome of an experience.
I think it probably says something that my major interest in it is running it in a virtual machine as a super secure browser option.
That is, I think that is a really clear indication of the level of interest they're peaking right now with it. But no, but it's cool. I mean, it's a really interesting idea, but it just is, the execution is, it doesn't feel quite there. But I mean, that's how you get there, is you have to, you got to iterate. I mean, this is one of those things. It's like Google's throwing it out there to see if it sticks. I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll kill Chrome OS like they did with Slide. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to suggest anything.
No, it's a, you know, it's an attempt. But one thing that's changed about Google is you won't say, ah, they'll keep it around in beta for 6 years. And, you know, and try seven different versions of it. The new Google that we were talking about earlier means that, you know, Chrome OS will have to actually prove itself.
8 days or you're dead.
It's a beta.
The new mantra, Google.
Can you imagine?
The photo vine effect.
That doesn't do beta at all.
Wow.
Like, this is the real product, or we're killing that.
Oh, yeah. No, imagine that world with no Google Wave then. That's what would have happened. It would have been like, this didn't work.
But how would I get anything done? About that.
We didn't accomplish anything. And why is Buzz still a tab option in Google Plus?
Because it's not dead.
That's
an oversight.
I don't know.
That begs the question.
Buzz Resurrection.
I like that movie. It's one of my favorites.
Yes, great. Great.
All right, I want to thank our Redditors, technewstoday.reddit.com, where folks can submit stories for consideration in the lineup. Big help in choosing what stories we're going to talk about on every show. Thanks to ComFixer87, MacBytes, SA Jewers, Captain Kipper, FJA, and more for submitting stories and voting them up or down over there at technewstoday.reddit.com. And don't forget, we still have bricks available if you want to get your message up on the wall in the Twit Studio. Bricks.twit.tv is the place you can go to buy a brick. Josh Chapolsky, thanks so much for joining us. Let us know what's coming up on thisismynext.com and where folks can find it and all that good stuff.
I absolutely will. Thanks for having me on the show.
So what is coming up on This Is
My Next? Oh, are you asking me?
Yes. Tell the folks.
You want to know what's going on? Nothing big planned, really. You know, we're launching this new site, The Verge, and that's going to be a pretty different situation from This Is My Next. I think I'm actually bracing for the time when people see The Verge and it's not This Is My Next, and
the
wave of hatred.
People hate change.
They do hate change, but they're going to love this change. They're going to embrace it because it's the world's first gaming laptop.
Finally, at long last.
I'm so glad.
It's a surprise, but I'm just going to tell you. Right.
Now you're going to give it 8 days or 49 days before you kill it if it doesn't succeed.
We're right in the middle, and then we're going to fire sale it. It's going to be pretty amazing.
All right. No, I'm looking forward to it. I love what you guys have been doing at This Is My Next, but I know it's just a prelude, so I can't wait until you guys get The Verge launched. Thanks to everybody for watching us. You can find us on the web, twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, tnt@twit.tv, or give us a call. The number is 260-TNT-SHOW. We'll be back Monday. See you then. I realized the whole show I should have been looking to you here, Josh, instead of over there, because you're right.
I know. From where I'm sitting, it's like Josh is totally snubbing you.
Yeah.
It is a two-way conversation. That guy is uncool.
And I think you're doing the week ahead, because
I am.
There's a hovering Lynn over my shoulder.
Yes.
If I switch to five, no, actually, she won't show up.
And if you look behind Ayaz Akhtar, you see the native hovering Lynn.
The foo. You see the foo. So I'm going to stop recording this.
We're going to approach slowly.
Is it control record? Is that what stops this?